June 17th, current events. Pope Francis, as you see picture, Pope Francis is ready to talk about climate change, global depopulation, and world government. Well, why do I care what the Pope is saying? Did you know what the Bible says? There's going to be a one world religion. There's going to be three religious groups. The Bible says in the end times, during the tribulation, it'll be Islam and then a false Christianity, right? And then also the Jewish people. We know those three, and we did that 3-week study on that. So we know those three groups exist. And there's and we're going to talk about Revelations 13 in a second. But I'm going to give you this article. He has called for an Earth Constitution, a UN, that would transcend the UN Charter. He wants something bigger, just as we talked about last June, that he would like a one world religion. You guys remember that? Or united religions, to partner with the UN. Along with the creation of a global council elected by all people on Earth. So the Pope, Catholic Church, is going to be going around this, he's touring right now, and this is what he's asking to do. So, tomorrow, Pope Francis and the Vatican are going to be launching a summer-long campaign which will reach its zenith in a tour of America. Pope Francis has been working on this sermon delivery all year, and it's one that will thoroughly delight Bible prophecy watchers. Professor John Schnellenhuber, founder and director of the Postum Institute for Climate Impact, is one of the three scientists handpicked by the Vatican to help advance this new trifold agenda. Schnellenhuber is also author of what's called the 2-degree target that says governments combining together must not allow the temperature to rise more than 2 degrees higher than in the start of the Industrial Revolution. You and I have no idea what's going on. There's some crazy stuff that's going on right now. What is going to happen is what the Pope is going to be going around. He said he wants to deal with climate issues, speaking to the church. He's also called for an Earth Constitution, once again, that would transcend the UN Charter, elected by a planetary court. Everyone across the world is going to vote for a board to monitor what we can do to the planet. And depopulation. Italian magazine L'Espresso leaked the anticipated speech on climate change on its website on Monday. So this is why they know what's going on. And it says the speech that Pope Francis will be delivering is hailed by as the Pope of, he calls himself the Pope of the Poor, linking himself to environmental and economic issues to bring the world together. Watch for this taking place. You are going to get people at all different religion and all different faiths jumping on the bandwagon for this. So you have different things. You have climate change, you have depopulation because the world is too populated. Just so you know, you guys know where Jacksonville, Florida is? Jacksonville, Florida. It's a very large geographically size. All the people on the earth right now, every single living being on earth standing upright, just like this, next to each other, could stand inside the city of Jacksonville. But we have a depopulation problem. No, we are going to have a food problem, according to the scriptures, because there's going to be a food shortage. That's why we're going to have to take a mark to buy, sell, or trade. You guys remember? There's something that's going to be happening. There's something coming up. The world says one thing, but it's really preparing for something else, as they don't understand. We're going to get back to this next week. We're going to follow up with his first sermons or speeches that he's giving. Now, who is this, everyone? I think we all know who that is. Okay. Who is this? John Kerry. His position? Secretary of State. Right? United States of America. He has calling for the internet to be placed under the authority of the UN. Okay. Why is this important? Wait, we're talking about end times America, right? We're talking about the world is, this is it. This is not doom and gloom. This is not conspiracy theory. This is news articles. This is coming out every day. So we have the Catholic Pope, the church, there's a church, the Catholic Church, is coming out saying, well, this is what we want to do. We want to create a one world religion, and we're going to help create this through we're going to get behind climate change, we're going to get behind depopulation, we want to get in behind this. And now we have the United States working with the UN saying that we want to get the internet together. Well, what's the big deal, Pastor? Are you in a conspiracy? No. In a speech made in South Korea, the Secretary of State said the internet needs to be ruled by and flourished and worked properly, and that can only be done and controlled by the United Nations. Kerry made his remarks in the context of talking about how international law is not only applicable to the internet, but soon everywhere. You guys hear? I mean, this is their speeches. They're laying the groundwork for what's about to take place. But we know this is going to, a one-world religion and a one-world government is going to take place after you and I and the rapture of the church are gone. So why do I care about this? It's because it's telling us how close it is to Christ's return. These things are not to occur according to Revelations, and we read several other passages in the Bible, 3.5 years in after we're gone, but we already see the preparation taking place right now. Just open up your current events. John Kerry went on to say, we view all the universal concepts that should be appealing to all responsible nations, and it is now gaining traction with over 80% of the nations on board for a UN-controlled internet. So what happens about this? He says, in order to build trust, the UN of government experts has stressed, now that's funny to me right there, the UN of governmental experts, okay, has stressed the importance of high-level communication, transparency, and national policies. We're doing this to make it safe for everybody. This is why they're doing it. See, the verbiage, the language in which they use, it means to be non-threatening. Now, last week, when we studied Pharaoh, remember when we looked at the fey and the hay, what's the surround? It means mouth. In the inside of the row, it means wickedness. It sounds great from the outside, what they're saying, but the heart of what they're trying to do is on the inside. We're going to talk about this later on tonight, about how things are spoken, not just in the Old Testament, but also in modern day. So that is what's going on. We're going to talk about that more, but this is in his, I'm going to keep going. Okay, who's this? Joe Biden. He is our? Prior to that, he was? Of? We seem to be split. Connecticut, Delaware, New Hampshire? Okay. So, statement from the vice president says he believes that Christians are violating LGBT rights. Last week, as President Obama declared for the LGBT, you know, it's their celebration week, and he says that we need to stop the harassment and all these other things against them. Now, at a separate place, a speech was given by Vice President Biden, utilizing and referencing Romans 1, 26, 27. You guys remember a couple weeks ago we read that? Romans 1, 26, 27, for this cause God gave them over to their vile affections, that for even this a woman did change her natural cause to lay down with a woman, and a man lay down with a man. You guys remember this? And it talks about they no longer had the ability to judge and think correctly, so God gave them over to a depraved mind. And they were filled with lust and did things that they would never thought they would do. That's in Romans 1. Well, Vice President Joe Biden said that the rights of the LGBT people are violated by religious condemnation. He is directly, and he was referring to not just Romans 1, but also other Bible verses throughout Scripture. He said, my father taught me the simple notion that everyone everywhere is entitled to be treated with dignity and respect. Now, what I'm telling you is words are important when you listen to them. What they're trying to do is they're packaging something. And I'm not trying to bash every single politician. So I just want to let you know you and I can't fall prey to this. You and I can't assimilate into culture. Talked about that last week, why God had to bring the plagues, remember? It says because Israel began to assimilate into the culture of Egypt. So he had to cause something. He said, because you're becoming just like them. So you listen to these words and it sounds good. Things you would never ever believe that you would fall for, all of a sudden you get connected with other people or family members or whatever, and all of a sudden says, well, can it really be that bad? He says when it comes to LGBT people, that simple proposition has been so painfully difficult to accomplish these past years. But in the last few years, thanks to an astounding bravery of that community, they've championed their cause, and the United States now is making remarkable progress. Now I want you to listen to this. It says, our progress remains incomplete, But now the momentum has shifted in the right direction. In the right direction. Now, for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks actually, starting 3 weeks ago, we looked at what happens when leaders place judges in authority over us, correct? When the judges and lawmakers start taking laws contrary to what God says is right, and they say, no, this is right, judgment then follows. So he, once again, leader of our country, leaders of countries, said that now what they're doing is right. Contrary to God's, right? This is the blood covenant. If blood covenant means when you cross a blood covenant means God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive us if he asks. But he says, for those who are in iniquity will never see the kingdom of heaven. What does iniquity mean? It means unrepentant sin. So if we are no longer calling it sin, there's no reason to repent. Everyone understand this is what this is going about. Now we're shifting in the right direction, meaning we're no longer calling this wrong. What does that mean? Just as it was in Daniel, just as it was in Genesis, it says they shifted the laws, causing those to act immoral, which brought judgment upon them. He said, in many places, the LGBT, this is a direct, these are direct right out of the transcripts. In too many places, LGBT community members face violence and they're mistreated by religious condemnation and religious people. We, the United States, cannot rest until everyone receives equal treatment under the law. Got to listen important to words. Words are very important. Under the law, legally, law, religious condemnation. What is religious condemnation? Is you can't say that anymore. You can't say that anymore. What could happen if you say that? You might lose your 501c3. You might go to prison. Oh, that would never happen. Sure, it would. How do I know that? Oh, because we're about, that's the next current event. How about that? How about this? Who's this? I got a quick finger tonight. Okay, who's this? Come on. President Obama. President Obama. President Obama and the administration threatens to cut funds for lunches if schools do not support transgender program. Wait, no, that could never happen. They would never stop funding. They couldn't. Oh, wait. The largest school district in Virginia is expanding its non-discrimination policy to include gender identity over the over 97% objections of parents. 97%. The Obama administration intended to impose the change on every public school district in the country. They're starting with one, and then they keep moving. So what happened was on, this is, goes back to May 15th. The reason the conclusion of this, the finality was not, is because there was some legalities, things that went on, but now they're listening to what happened. So this happened on May 15th towards the end of the school year. Once going back to Exodus 1 from last week, and we're going to go through this a little bit again tonight. Exodus 1 says when the new leader came in who did not like God's people, it says they became very shrewd and crafty on how to go against God's people. Do you guys remember that? It's right out of God's word. Word says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. What has already taken place will happen again. I told you from the end in Isaiah what would happen, but in the beginning what would happen at the end. So on May 15th, the Fairfax County School Board voted overwhelmingly 6-1 to expand its non-discrimination policy to accommodate transgender teachers and students. The vote came after the second of two boisterous hearings at which parents, over 97%, overwhelmingly opposed the change. So the people voiced, right, they did what was right, but the leaders who they voted in decided, I don't really care what you're saying. Well, that doesn't seem fair. Oh, the story, the plot thickens. Yeah, this is so good. The amended policy would apply to students as young as preschool and allow teachers to go in the bathrooms of the students. If a male teacher considers himself a woman, he can go in with the girls to the bathroom. This is what they just voted on. So all the parents are saying, no, we don't want this. But the board says, okay, we're voting against the intent of what you want. For weeks, the board members touted the changes that were coming up as a minor change to not promote this meeting at the end of the school year. In a statement released after the second meeting, school board chairwoman Tamara Koufax released a statement, said the federal government left us no choice. Here it is. This is you can watch this interview, you can in the transcript. She said, this was someone sitting on that school board who was elected. She said, the U.S. Department of Education has told school districts that transgender students and or teachers are protected from discrimination under Title IX, including Alexandria, Virginia, including gender identity. She said, although only one board member opposed the policy change, it didn't matter. We were threatened that if we did not do their will, they would pull our federal education funds, free and reduce meal money for impoverished students. You don't think there's something? This is what's going on. Well, the churches are safe, though. These are federally funded schools, and they're doing it to their own school systems. They said, you know, so the new food programs, right? Well, it's healthy food programs. No, they're showing how much they're telling you what you can and cannot eat. Once again, not conspiracy. I'm just telling you, what is this doing? There's a bigger picture here, church. This is all pointing towards the end, okay? This is all pointing towards the end. President Obama and his Justice Department, once again, I'm just quoting the school board, and his Department of Education are going to start telling school districts, if you do not add gender identity, we are going to take away your federal funding. They're going to do it to schools. Churches are going to be next. Because why? You've had a statement given by Vice President Biden last week. You had a statement given by President Obama. You actually have the Pope now going around. Everyone's trying to, March, the Catholic Church, they said now they're going to start opening up the church to gay and lesbian lifestyle, bringing leaders in the church. It's all inclusive. Everything is going on right in front of us. Revelations 13:16, and then we'll begin tonight. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Who's that? The Antichrist. In Revelations 13:1, picture of the Antichrist, and then in verse 11 of Revelations 13 is when the false prophet, they come together. And they causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or on the foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, say that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, many of people ask me, not just over the last several months, but even the last couple weeks. Now, my friend has a chip, my dog has a chip, and all those things. Now, it's telling you right there, that chip has to have, in regards to what it represents, the name of the beast and the number of his name. And then also, specifically to verse 18, here is wisdom. Let he with understanding count the number or symbol, going back to the original Hebrew text, the Greek text, of the beast. It is the number or symbol of a man. His number is 666. So 666. Back in end of July of last year, if you want to get those notes, let me know. It was spelled out what 666, just going right back to the Bible, the original Greek text. What does this mean? What are they talking about, 666? The 600, which is a symbol, the symbol was chi. In the original text in the 300 AD when it was translated, it was a symbol, which was an X, chi, or Christos. Okay, so go back to verse 17. So you can't buy, sell, and then verse 17. Why? You can't buy or sell. And you're going to have a mark or an identifier on you, this chip, which is going to represent a name and the number of that name. Okay, what does it represent? That number is the chi. It's Christos. It's a one-world religion. Okay, it's an anti-Christian religion. It's not going to be the true Christian. Then secondly, the Zai, the 60 in gematria is what a lot of people would use, but there's a symbol for that in the Greek that 60 is also means Zai. It's the exact same symbol for Allah. Allah would be your, in verse 1, would be your one world ruler. And then the 6, which is Sigma, which means a slave. That's what they were branded with in the Bible. When you were a slave to a king, they would brand you, that soldier, as you were a slave to them with that symbol. It's like a little G, which is 6. So it says, let he with understanding that you're going to have a chip in your right hand or your forehead, and it's going to stand for you are in line with a one-world government, a one-world religion, and you will honor buying and selling and trading to that, because that's the only way you're going to be able to do it. Y'all understand that? It's a very short version of a couple weeks of study there, but this is what's happening. Every single thing, every single current event that I did tonight is mainstream news and information. It's about one-world religion. It's about one-world government. It's controlling a one-world internet. It's a UN. It's the UN bringing it together. This is about united religions. So if you aren't saved or you're questioning, am I walking with Jesus? Before you leave tonight, I would get right with Jesus. I would get right with Jesus. I would be on my knees praying for your family tonight before you go to bed, praying that their eyes are opened because Jesus is coming and the signs are everywhere, right? Everyone, right? Okay. All right, here we go. You guys got your handout? This is End Times America Part 5. I'm going to do a quick recap because I want to make sure we fully understand what's going on. And I'm going to go into a little bit different in more detail tonight. But as we continue about the parallels and patterns, so we've gone through patterns that it's a fivefold pattern of when we go against what God says is right as a nation or leader. And those are, first, he chastises, selective chastisement to those that individual who is saying, no, this is right. For instance, a leader, a king, a pharaoh, Old Testament, now presidents, prime ministers, whatever, who's leading that nation. Then if they don't turn, there's full chastisement. Then they're going to bring warnings first, selective chastisement, judgment, then complete abandonment. God just says, hey, you're not learning from this. Those three areas in which continuously are repeated, not just in the Old Testament, but today, is when a society says abortion is okay, when it says that gay marriage or those things can coexist, and they allow idols, whatever God says this should be the way it should be, is they allow other things from money to whatever they serve. Those three areas are continuously repeated, and people have to go through. So where is America at? Well, last week we started with looking at the parallels of ancient Egypt with modern day America. Ecclesiastes 1:9 in your notes. The Amplified, the thing that has been, thing means what? Word. God's word, a thing. So God's word, what has already been in God's word, it is and what will be it again. It's going to happen. What have you seen patterns, meaning when people were righteous, God took care of them. When they were unrighteous or went against what, you see his warning, chastisement, judgment, abandonment. So what has been, it will be again, and which has not been, and that which will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. There is not a new cycle that God works with. God is consistent. He says, I am the Lord, I changeth not. Right? I am not a man that I should lie. If he's going to discipline this way, this is how he disciplines. If he says, you drew the line, you went past the line. Here it is. Isaiah 46:9. Remember the former things. Things is word. Things that he already said in his word, which I did. He's already did that. That means, look, I already did this in my word. I am God. There's no one else. I am God. There's none like me. I've declared the end and the result from the beginning. Once again, even the beginning of Scripture, starting in the book of Genesis, has always pointed towards the end. God has always given us glimpses to what the end looked like, right, in his word. And as time approaches, more and more revelation occurs. That's why in Revelations, the last book of the Bible, coincidentally, is the full revealing of the mysteries of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. So he said at the end, the full revelation of Jesus Christ, who is the Word, the full revelation of the Word would take place. And then John goes on to explain the full revelation of what it's all about in that book of Revelations. So in America, we are most closely aligned with right now this pattern of what has already been and what will take place again from Ecclesiastes 1:9 with ancient Egypt. So last week we started off in the synagogues during the voting in 2008 in November. It just, who was President Obama running against in that election? 2008. Somebody from Arizona. Senator John McCain from Arizona, 2008. 2012, it was Mitt Romney from Massachusetts. So you have Senator John McCain, President Barack Obama. At that time, the election took place in November of 2008. In January 2009 is when you had the inauguration. At that inauguration, once again, and we're going to talk about this more next week and the following week, is this is when it became even more indicative of what the evangelical church was doing when then Pastor Rick Warren prayed to ISA at the conclusion of that inauguration, okay, as he closed in prayer. At that very time of the inauguration in the Jewish synagogues, they were reading from the Torah, and they were reading from the one of the, when they read from all five books of the Torah, but when they got to Exodus, they were reading the exact story about when Joseph had died. Joseph was second in command, right? Joseph second in command. He had just passed away. He was actually leading and running that country, doing it proficiently. Everyone was prospering even during this time of famine. So you have Exodus 1:8. There arose up a new king in Egypt. So there's new king or a new pharaoh arose in Egypt at the time of Joseph's death. It says that he did not know Joseph. We looked at last week, is it doesn't mean he did not know him personally. It means he did not respect him. In the Hebrew, it says he did not honor him. He did not like Joseph. He didn't like what he stood for. So Joseph, but Joseph is the one that made Egypt a superpower. So it was not, he didn't like what he had did for Egypt. He didn't like who Joseph was. You guys understand the difference, right? You might have a favorite sports player or somebody. You can see, wow, they're really good, but I don't like how they play. I don't like their character. I don't like, there's something about them I don't like. Now, Joseph, now in Exodus 9, Joseph passes away, and now this new king, is Pharaoh, said, behold, the Israelites, or God's people, are too many, too mighty for us, they outnumber us, and they are in strength, meaning they have a lot of control over Egypt. Here's God's people, and they have a lot of control. You know, in the United States, you know, the Christian church, they had a lot of control. We used to have a lot of control, everyone. Okay, the country was founded on Christian values, so that means we got a lot of control. When everything is founded and all the laws are founded on God's word, that means if you're a Christian, you have a lot of control because everything you believe is what your country is founded on, right? So there's a control aspect. So there's a strength in that, okay? So Exodus 9, it moves on to Exodus 10 now. So he said, let us deal with the wily. So he has an administration. He picked an administration just like him. They did not like Joseph. He said, now we have to deal with them. And the Amplified, shrewdly. And the King James, it says, deal with them wisely. We have to devise a plan to come up against God's people. Some of those plans I even shared tonight during these current events. And say, you know what, we're going to do this. The UN's going to take this away. We're going to take this away. We'll talk about some more of these current events tonight during the lesson. But they're devising ways. They don't come out and say what it is. It takes years. It takes years to come up and lay the groundworks and to get something to pass through. And he says, they might even join our enemies and fight against us. We need to take control. So they set over the Israelites taskmasters. The 17 different places that utilizes right around this time period is always used as a taskmaster, meaning labor. But this particular place in the Hebrew means tax master. It is different used contextually in the Hebrew. So they set over the Israelite taxes to afflict and oppress them with burdens. So how do I know that, you know what, when Christians say they'll never affect our 501(c)(3), that would never happen to us. Well, they just went after schools, and they said, we wouldn't fund you. So guess what? Churches, you won't get your tax credits. We're going to hurt you because people won't tithe. People have a hard time tithing now, let alone if they don't get a tax break. That's a little church humor, everyone. Come on, laugh. Okay, I'll edit in humor. That'll be fine. So they know people, like I said, in America, money is an idol. Money is an idol. You ask, you go around and you take 160, there's 168 countries that they like to poll. There's this grouping that they poll. Guess what? What other countries think about other countries? The number one idol that everyone else outside of the U.S. thinks that the United States struggles with is money. It's an idol. It's a money. So what does the enemy go after? Money. He's going to target money. He's going to control people by money. How do I know that? The schools, it says they're going to stop our funding. They're going to stop our food. They're going to, and what's the Pope going to do? The Pope is coming across as the poor. He's addressing the poor people, right? Money. I'm here to give money to you. We're going to take money from the UN and we're going to help feed the world. Well, if I'm taking money from the UN, I have to do what the UN is telling me to do. So along with giving you food, I have to tell you something. And that telling you is what to believe, how to act, how to respond, who to pay homage to. You guys see how easily, I mean, we understand how this works now, right? Oh, don't borrow money from them because, oh boy, you know, there's a lot of hoops that go through them. You know, there's certain people that just give you money. There's other people, it's like, oh boy, I got to go through hoops, okay? This is what governments, it says this is what was going on at this time in Exodus 1:10, and it repeats itself. So in Exodus 1:22, the Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son born to the Hebrew you shall cast into the river Nile, but every daughter you shall allow. This is part of the abortion. This is a part killing the child. This was allowable. And this is in the Israelis, God's people, fought this at first, but then they understood this was just part of the deal in order to continue living there and not continually be oppressed and hard labor. This was part of the deal. They became assimilated. And we looked at the word Pharaoh. I'm not going to go into that tonight, but it just means that he's smooth on the outside. His words are great, but at the heart of what they're doing is wicked. That's why I'm telling the church at large, do not get caught up in what these speeches are saying. They're saying, well, we just need to be kind to people. It's fair. It's the right thing to do. But at the heart of it, it's contrary to God's word. So they say what is right, Pharaoh, which soothe, it's smooth mouth, and then the heart of it is wicked. So we have assimilation now for the God's people into the Egyptian culture. You have the abortion issues going on. You have the tax situations going on. And then we left off with the plagues. Now the plagues started taking place. You guys all seen Ten Commandments, but what's the movie? At Easter time. Charlton Heston. Not Ten, it's the other one. It's Let My People Go. Is that Ten Commandments? Yeah, okay, it's the same one, okay. I've seen all these in all these different ways. Okay, so Let My People Go, and you see the frogs, you see the blood river, you see all these plagues starting to take place, right? Well, all these plagues are being poured out. But you can see, it says the plagues are poured out for a reason. It's not just to come up against those who are coming against God's people, because it says that the Israelites, God's people, are going through the plagues. They were living there at the same time. But this is what happened. It said God's doing this correction, and he wants them to see something, Exodus 10:2. So that you may recount in the ears of your son and of your grandson what I have done in derision or opposition of the Egyptians, and what things I have repeatedly done there, my signs of divine power done among them, that you may recognize and know that I am the Lord. So God, why didn't you just get us out of there first and then deal with them? He said, because I want you to see it. I want you to experience it. No pain, no gain. Same as a child, right? If you can spoil a child by you giving them everything, they've never experienced what it means to work through something. You'll never learn from your mistakes if someone always bails you out of the mistake. He said, I'm doing this that so you may recount and look back. I'm going to let you endure this because you are the one that was assimilating, but I'm going to allow this to take place so you can recount everybody. But yeah, God sent these plagues. He sent these things down, and now we got to get out of here. So God sets the distinction between him and his people. Don't assimilate to the world because I can't use you. I can't use you for what you are supposed to be doing for me, the kingdom of God. Don't get sucked in through relationships, through friendships, through family who are doing something contrary to God's word. Don't assimilate and start thinking like them. They will pull you down. Pastor, that sounds harsh. Bible says, if someone calls himself a brother or sister in Christ and continually and repeatedly goes against this word, don't even break bread with them or sit down and eat with them. Well, that's not very nice. No, God's doing it for your protection. He wants to protect you. Well, then how do I witness? In that same passage, it says, I did not say, don't eat with the sinners, for even I, the Son of God, I eat with the sinners so that I may draw them to the Father. But our close relations, and we talked about that in Thessalonians during the 2 weeks when we talked about drinking, my close relations, if they're not following the word and they're doing something willfully contrary in iniquity, it says, don't even break bread with them. It's hard, but it's being obedient to God's word. So behind the king, though, coming to power, this is so huge. Behind the king, behind Pharaoh coming to power, behind presidents, prime ministers coming to power, is not so much a reflection of the wickedness of the world or the nation, but it's to accentuate that my people have become wicked or assimilated to the world. Think about that for a second. Israel, God's people, were assimilating to Egypt. I'm not saying Egypt was doing everything right. I'm saying God's people started assimilating to that. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, who's he speaking to? Us, shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, require of necessity my face and what? From what? Okay. What is going on in America? And I've said this, you guys, since I came here last year, how from voting, from what's going on at all different levels, is a direct reflection of what the church is doing. Because the world is wicked. The word says, don't be surprised when the wicked act wicked. We should be shocked when the church acts like the world. So he's telling the people, stop assimilating, stop being like the world. So if my people, who are called by my name, would turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and then what? Heal their land. So when you and I, God's people, stop complaining and or buying into, well, this is being sympathetic to things that are contrary to God's word and kind of going with it. You know what? Maybe it is all one God. You know, maybe gay marriage is okay. Well, maybe it's no, God says it's wrong. Well, then I can't hate people. He didn't say hate people. He said hate sin. He said hate sin. So there's something wicked going on. It says because we're assimilating, we're getting mixed up in our thought processes and we're becoming like the world in how we think, how we act, and how we talked. So he says, I'll make your land prosper again in the GNT. I'll heal your land. I'll actually start repairing the things. What is the healing process? We're going to talk about that in a minute too. So Christian, meaning imitator of Christ or little Christ, meaning it doesn't mean when someone says, yeah, I'm a Christian because I read the Bible occasionally. A Christian means I'm an imitator of Christ. It means I'm doing what Jesus would do. I strive to be like Christ. I be holy as I am holy. I can't be perfect as he is perfect. I can strive to be holy as he is holy. There's a difference. For someone who says, I never sin, you just sinned. It's pride, because it's just like, I'm not perfect yet. I can't. I continue being like Christ. It says, we will be made perfect when we see him. Well, I thought I was the righteousness of Christ. Yes, but we're made in right standing with him, and then we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So it's a process. It's a process getting closer to him. So he's not talking to the world or those who don't know him. He's saying, I'm allowing this to happen to you because I love you. I'm allowing, church, you to go through this because you're assimilating. You're becoming like the world. You put money in front of me. You put your free time in front of me. You're so afraid to back out of relationships because you might offend someone because of my word. Stop acting like the world so I can use you. Jesus knows the time is short, but the word says Jesus doesn't even know the day or the hour. Only the Father knows the day or the hour. Jesus knows because he commanded us to know the signs of the times, so Jesus knows the signs of the times too. He's sitting down looking at us. He goes, oh boy, I better get ready to go. I got to go get them. He knows. See, God commands us to be different. He calls us to be set apart. This is where we I can't get ahead of myself. Okay, 1 Peter 2:9. You and I are a chosen, I'm going to read the King James. You and I are a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Oh, you start thinking differently when you start singing that to yourself. If we are a peculiar people, think about that. You're all peculiar. I'm peculiar. Peculiar. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So royalty doesn't assimilate to what's around them. Everyone else assimilates to royalty. I don't become like them. They're supposed to be coming like me. Yeah, but I don't want to be lonely. Royalty doesn't worry about being lonely. Well, why? Because they can always go back to the palace and be with the king. They always have a place to go back to. So when they're out and about with everybody else, they're actually trying to expand the kingdom. This is what you and I, in Isaiah, right? It says the kingdom of the God is going to be, Jesus said, is going to be upon my shoulders, right? And the expansion of the kingdom is on my body, is on my shoulders. You and I are the body of Christ. The expansion of the body of Christ is your and I's responsibility. So you and I are this chosen race who are supposed to expand the kingdom. So I don't have to worry about being lonely. Well, I don't have any friends. It doesn't matter. As soon as you start feeling sorry for yourself and lonely, you will start assimilating to the world. Man, this is good, Pastor Grant. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. We are in the kingdom of God. We are supposed to separate ourselves from the nation or the culture in the sense that we're not supposed to live the way they're living. Old and New Testament says the word sojourners. It means temporary residence. I'm a temporary resident. Stop setting up shop like you're going to be here forever and assimilating to what everybody else is so you can fit in. I'm not supposed to fit in. I'm called out. I'm called to be ye separate. I'm supposed to be different. I'm supposed to be, think about this. You're supposed to be peculiar. Oh, here's that peculiar guy at work again. Well, now, I didn't say just be peculiar to be peculiar. I said to be peculiar. Hey, there's the guy wearing the lizard outfit again to work. No, I didn't say that. You're supposed to be peculiar because you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're a chosen generation. I don't think like them. I don't talk like them. Hey, let's go out for drinks after work. Man, I'm sorry, you guys. I don't do that. Man, sorry about that. Okay. All right. Well, No, I don't do that. Man, you want to go to the bars? No, I can't hang out at the bars. Man, you guys, can we go out to dinner? That'd be great. But listen, I can't have my close friendships involved in those type of things. I'm sorry. Well, they won't like me at work. God will get you another job. Well, I don't know about that. Stop assimilating, thinking the world is the one that provides your needs. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory, meaning according to what he's called you to do. Well, I need to make $200,000. Not if you're living on an island. Right? Well, God's going to call me to an island? I don't know. But if you think you need $200,000 to live on, so you're picking your own job as opposed to God picking it for you, you got a problem. God will get you rid of that so quick, your head will spin, you'll be living out of a Quonset hut in the middle of Iowa thinking, wow, I need $2,000 to live on. I'm eating berries off the ground, and I'm witnessing every single person around me. It's amazing. Look what Jonah had to go through. I ain't witnessing to them. Fine. Go spend 3 days in the belly of a whale. What will it take to make us see we're here for God's pleasure and not for our own? So if you and I don't voluntarily answer the call to separate ourselves from the way people are thinking, and this, I want you to understand this. If someone says, but my daughter, she just told me she's a lesbian, and God would not send her to hell. I didn't say that. But she gave her heart to the Lord. Well, then it says then to repent, turn from your wicked ways. Pastor, you seem hard on that one. No, because they're not calling it sin anymore. If you're a liar, turn from your lies. If you're a drunkard, stop being a drunkard. It's a, well, Pastor, you're not saying it very compassionately. I can't, the time is short. That's the most compassionate way I can say is stop it. In Chronicles, it says, you know what to do, what is right, so do it. Well, I was just hoping someone could cheer me out of it. God says, I'm for you. I'm not against you. The second you take a step out of the boat, I'm there to help you. But time is so short, and Kelly and I were talking about this earlier today, and, you know, we're just talking about life stuff and talking about preaching and, you know, like, for me, what my calling is. And I said, you know what? You know, I can speak. I've preached on everything. I've preached just in the last, I figured it out in the last four, in the last 14 years, I've preached like 2,300 times. From Sundays to Wednesdays to Sunday nights to different events. And I said, you know, I can preach on anything. Sunday mornings, preach kingdom, teach Jesus. That's Acts, the end of Acts. That's what Paul said to do. But there's times and seasons for us to be learning something as the body of Christ. Jesus is coming. There's not time for me to lay out a 3-year reading program for you to come to Jesus. You're not even promised tomorrow. The time, it says in Isaiah, it says, my watchmen on the tower are like dumb dogs who don't bark. They would rather sleep and gaze and dream. Time is too short. Time is too short. We have to get the word out. We have to sound the alarm. This is what happens when we don't separate ourselves from the world, meaning we start thinking like them, acting like them, coming, this is key. In the Greek, it says, don't become sympathetic to sin. Don't become sympathetic to sin. Oh, but that's okay. You can love that sinner, but you have to hate sin. And understand that they are in bondage to sin, and you need to break the bondage of sin, lest they are going to hell. Well, but they're saved. If they're still under the bondage of sin, Galatians 5 says, if they continue to habitually practice this, they're going to hell. Well, that's not very nice. I'm not here to be nice. I'm here to proclaim the truth, and the truth will set you free. I want us all to be in heaven one day running around with 20 more, with each of us having 20 more people aside from us that aren't here tonight and saying, look at this. Look at this. And someone's going to say, yeah, he beat me over the head with the gospel and it's awesome. I'm here running around with them. Or other people go, why didn't you tell me? Well, I was waiting for that prime opportunity. You worked next to me for 17 years and you never told me. Because the word says he will use, how do I know this? Old Testament says it. He and New Testament. He will use the nations to bring you back to him. How is he going to use the nations? God will use things in the nation. Laws, oppression, lawsuits coming up against the bakers, coming up against these cupcake makers for 130 grand, coming up against school systems if you don't buy into what they're telling you to do. He will use the nation to bring you to a place where you have to separate yourself. He will use the nations to separate you against your will. Because things are going to start happening to you and I if we listen to the word and we're not just hearers of it, but we're doers of the word. It says trouble's going to come our way. Jesus said, if they hated me, though, they're going to hate you. Why? For the word's sake. If you do what the word says, it says if the world loves you, watch out, you're doing something wrong. Man, this is good. Wow, you guys are just, whew. I don't mean to say that in a boastful way. I'm getting excited myself because this is not even on here. So what Pharaoh did was he put them in a situation they were being oppressed. What he did was he's bringing God right to that problem. He said, God's got to step in now. But when people begin to pray and cry out to God, and that is what's happening right now in America, you have to cry out and pray to God. We can't believe over the decisions, not just since 2008 in November, but even before that. See, we can't get political about it and say it's just been in the last 6.5 years. This was bad. No, it's been going on for a long time. Why? Because we began to assimilate and we're voting our feelings as opposed to what God says to be true. And as a result, we get school systems that are not well. We get programs that are meant to keep people down and dependent on government. Why? Because this is what the government wants to do. It's pretty on the outside. It sounds great. We want to take care of you. But at the heart, it's wicked. It's about control. So after the election of 2009, immediate tax increase, hard labor, increased oppression, you and I have been praying for everyone else to live to the standard. And this is what it's going to be like at the time of the end. This is what's going to happen in the tribulation. You and I, one world government, everyone's going to pay, and we're going to all pay to live the same. How do I know that? Because they're going to regulate food, buying and selling and trading. When I was in the Air Force, I don't know if I told you this last week, when I was in the Air Force, the PX, I could only buy so much milk, I could only buy so much bacon, I could only buy so much, because the cost of buying a bag of Doritos on base was $1. To buy it in Panama, down the city, just a couple miles away, was $5. So guys on base were buying 30 bags of Doritos and making $150. Capitalism. No, what happened was, is when I went to go get my Doritos, there was none at the BX. And I wanted to eat. So people are complaining, why are we wiped out of food all the time? He goes, I don't know. We should have enough for the amount of people we had. So on our little cards, on my little card, when I would scan my card, this is back in 1988, 89, and 1990. I would scan my card, and it says Grant Williams, single. He only gets 1 gallon of milk every 2 weeks. You've reached your quota. But I really like bacon. Sorry, you've already had your 1 pound of bacon. But I want 1 pound of bacon a day. I'm sorry, you can't have 1 pound of bacon a day. They were controlling, buying, and selling. This is 25 years ago. So we know this is going to happen again. Partial birth abortion. You and I are paying for it in our taxes. This should bother us as believers. We're paying. I'm not telling you don't pay your taxes. I'm saying we need to get people out who says pay for our abortions. No. I want to get someone who says abortion's wrong, and I don't want to pay for it. This is a part of we got to understand. I am actually paying for this. My money is going for something that's contrary to God's word. And if we voted for that person who said, I'm going to tax you to do this thing that's ungodly, he goes, guess what? That's your fault. So laws that are contrary to God's commands, from gay marriage, etc., as a result, plagues are going to be poured out. Now remember, God allowed the king or Pharaoh to rise to power for a reason. He allowed it because the people were assimilating, right? So the next step or pattern, plagues. Another name for plagues in the Hebrew is disasters. Now, 2014, something happened, Ebola. You guys remember that? And we were reading from the World Health Organization, from who? And it says, hey, man, if this doesn't stop, we're going to need another $100 billion to stop this threat. And if not, you know, there's going to be 30 million people are going to be dead by tomorrow. And this happens now. Those things didn't happen catastrophically. It was a result of money that was poured into vaccinations? Was it God's hand coming back down and making, we allowed so much clamor and fear and God stepped in? I don't know exactly how it happened. All I know is that since 1976, that the United States has been traveling there for 40 years helping in different programs, from feeding programs, from water to food. Ebola has been in existence since 1976, since I identified it. All that time, for almost 40 years, it never came back to the United States, yet we were the single most traveled nation to Africa and back. Never. It just happened in 2014, Ebola came back. I gave you some of the information, we won't go that in tonight in the italics, about the cases that were involved, just to jog your memory about the fear. You guys remember the fear that happened? I mean, from what happened in New York, you know, they were throwing nurses, they were throwing doctors, and he didn't want to report. Man, they were putting them in jail. What happened in Texas, and people were dying. They didn't know what to do. There was wide world panic, and this is what happens with Ebola. See, people don't want to die. There's fear. People want to be taken care of. And this is one of the enemy uses fear to control people. He uses fear to control. But we're not limited to Ebola. We have bird flu. We have other viruses that are keep coming back. They are prevalent, from measles, chicken pox, and all these things that keep coming back. It's like, why? I thought we already took care of that. I thought we just. So there's constantly things being swept over that are talked about. We have national debates on vaccinations right now. National debates on whether or not I'm going to send my child to school or not, if your child isn't getting vaccinated or not, because we're afraid. Why? We don't want plagues, diseases, and disasters to come upon us. But that's what Luke 21, Matthew 24 said would happen at the end of time. Well, there's always been that. Not exponentially like it's been, especially in America. Remember, we're talking about end times America. We've already handled all this. We have the best doctors. We have the best health care. This doesn't happen here. But it continually is happening. In Michigan already this year, we've had earthquakes. Several other states across America, they have never known this type of seismic activity ever. Ever. We're going to talk about earthquakes and some fault lines in a second here, but there's been flooding, obviously, in Texas, Chicago, the East Coast. These plagues and disasters are taking place not just where they've never been, but to where they've been to the extent that they've never been before. The Bible says, we went to a three-week study on this, exponentially would happen more as the time approaches. Earthquakes, flooding, natural disasters, there's other things going on. Mass shootings. It says at the end of time, the love of man's heart, it will grow cold. Never before have we seen mass shootings in elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, college campuses, killing, hatred, despair. Pastor, you're depressing me. I'm trying to tell you Jesus is coming. I'm trying to tell you, we're living Bible prophecy. We should be more alive than we've ever been before. We should be ready. You should have your jumping shoes on. You should be just ready to jump up in the air at any single time. This is the most exciting time ever to live in. Because we actually see the whole scripture actually coming to life right in front of us. Not a portion of it. The whole thing is right before us. It is happening like the Bible said it would be. And that's exciting. In 2014 it started. A man jumped over the fence at the White House. Now many of others have since then. But this man actually went to the front door, opened the front door of the White House, and ran around the whole first floor for a while. Do you guys remember that? Well, since then, they've had other people jump over the fence. They've had drones land on the lawn. They've had people flying their personal helicopters right into the White House lawn. That's never happened before. What is going on? Well, sounds like hands of protection are being lifted. According to the Bible, it says when a leader, he sends warnings to leaders, selective chastisement and chastisement. Things happen to leaders. You guys remember, this is right out of the scripture. Now, this isn't frogs in your bed, water turning into blood, but this is a sign that the hedge is coming down. What is the Bible speaking to us now? God is taking the hedge down, which means there are other things that are going to be coming. There are going to be other things coming. Isaiah 5:5. And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge. Wait, whose vineyard is it? God's vineyard. My people, where they're living, I will take away a hedge, protection. Oh, 2 Chronicles, if my people would humble themselves and pray, then I would put the hedge back on. Do you guys see this? But in Isaiah 5:5, he said, listen, people of my vineyard, I'm going to take my hands off. But if you'd stop acting like the world, assimilating to them, agreeing with their laws, agreeing with their culture, of putting your money first like the world is so concerned about all your 401, I'll put the hedge back on if you just put away all that stuff and start focusing on what I want you to do. Right? Ecclesiastes 1:9, smartest man ever lived. What has always been, always will be, it keeps repeating itself. When you and I repeat the same things over and over again, we get the same results. Now, all this is found in the pattern of Scripture, what's taking place. If you look at the Old Testament as just a history book, you're going to miss this. It is a living, breathing document. And it's prophetic and it's speaking. The Old Testament doesn't mean it's no good and it's old, throw it away. It was first and then there was the newer one. There's two of them. They could have called it the first and the second. It's the old and the new. The word that God speaks, it's alive. It doesn't say the word that God speaks in the New Testament. It says the word that God speaks. Old and New Testament is God speaking. It is alive. It's full of power, making it, it makes it. Because it's alive and full of power, and because God is speaking it, it's active, it operates, it's energizing, it's effective. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates. It divides. It divides. When I'm thinking, well, I don't know, does God's word really, yes, it says it divides right down the middle. Yes, that is wrong, that is right. Well, I don't know, that's a little gray. Boom, do you think God says, you know what, whatever you think. The God in heaven who created us, and he says, man, it, whew, here's the rules. This is how you live. I'm going to bless you. And Deuteronomy says, man, if you do this, what is right, I'm going to bless you in the city and out of the city. If you do what is wrong, I'll curse you in and out of the city. And then we sit there and go, I wonder, though, if he talked about this. No, I'm sure God forgot something. He didn't forget anything. He wrote it all down. So the pattern is right in here. He says he's going to separate the joint and the marrow, the deepest parts of our nature. He knows at the heart, he knows our very nature. Well, if you have a really sympathetic heart, right? Some people are more sympathetic than others. Have you ever found that to be true? If the person next to you is not sympathetic, would you just point? I'm kidding. All right, so there's certain ones of us. I saw some. Okay, certain people are more sympathetic than others. As a result of that, their heart goes, oh, man. You know, it's like certain other people are cold. Now, sometimes you call someone who's cold to deal with something because you can't make yourself do it. You guys know what I'm saying? It's like, man, I just can't be that cold-hearted. Well, the other person who's cold-hearted goes, that's not cold-hearted. That's just life. Where the cold-hearted person goes, man, everyone doesn't like me. I'll bring the sympathetic person in, and could you handle this one, right? Right, that's when the Bible says, husband and wife, he made them male and made them female. He made them different to deal with certain things. We all have strengths and weaknesses, our friends, partnerships, don't be unequally yoked, all these different things. He's made us so we sift and analyze and judge the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Why am I doing this? Hey, have a brother in Christ, sister in Christ, husband, wife, friend, whatever, as long as they're serving God. Hey, are the motives of my thinking, are they right? Are they lined up with God's word? Because I don't want to get sucked in and assimilate to what the world says is right. So the patterns that we're seeing taking place in ancient Egypt are speaking to what is happening in America right now closer than any other thing in the Bible. So as God's people, what we need to do, and this goes beyond voting and voting for the right person. This is a spiritual problem. This is a spiritual problem, what's going on. It's not limited to voting. This is not a Hollywood problem. It's not a Republican problem. It's not a Democrat problem. It's not an independent problem. It's a spiritual problem that the United States is going through. It's a spiritual problem. It is a right and wrong problem. We look at the scripture, and we can't even decide whether or not if I'm going to agree with what God is saying or he isn't saying. Why? Because I have friends. Because I'm in love. I just don't see, well, what if I say things and I lose my job? We're tied to money. We're tied to friends. We're tied to relationships. America has abandoned covenants with God, old and new, and blood covenants most of all. The blood covenant, once again, is Jesus died for our sin. When the world or rules, laws, school systems, local municipalities, states, when they legalize something that God says is wrong, if you go by what man says and continually do it, you have crossed the blood covenant line, and you're no longer asking for forgiveness. So the fundamental problem is God's people have turned away from God. Don't be surprised when the wicked act wicked. Be shocked when God's people act the way the world acts. If my people who are called by my name shall turn from their wicked ways, then I can step in and put the hedge back down. It doesn't say those who don't know me. It says my people would break away from the world and be separate. Now, separate by itself, to be separate means to be isolated, to be lonely, to be by oneself. Right? I mean, to be separate. One of the hardest things to do is to be separate when we are social people. God made us to be around people, right? To evangelize, to disciple, to be around people, to enjoy each other's company, to laugh. We don't want to be alone, but he's called us to be separate. So we need to find like-minded people in order to build us up so we can go out and minister to those. And as our spirit man becomes depleted, right? Doesn't he become depleted? Anybody? I don't know about you. I get depleted. I mean, I don't know where you work, but I work in a horrific place. Okay, little joke. Okay. You get it? I work at a church. Okay. All right. So spiritually, it's terrible. Okay. So when you go out, but I didn't always work in a church. I was a general contractor. I was in the military. I worked job sites. I know what it's like. I'm just telling you, it's you go out, you can assimilate like them because you don't want to be lonely. You want to be part of the group. He says to be ye separate. It's not an option. It's not changing into something different, meaning your own religion or your own, I got my own walk with Jesus. No, this is the only walk with Jesus you can have. How do you know that? Because he says this is the only way into heaven. Narrow is the gate. Unless a man be born again, he will not enter. Well, yeah, but I think there's many ways. No, there's only one. Yeah, but all these other, it's wrong. Yeah, but can we, no, I'm not going to reason that together with you. Don't entertain what the enemy wants you to entertain. Stick with the word. How do you know when there's false money? How do you know when there's funny money? Because you study what is true. I don't have to keep going with what everybody else is saying. Well, maybe they're right. No, this is right, and that's it. You settle it once and for all, it's done. Anything that comes up against this is false. So it's not moving forward into a new area. It's returning back to God. It's returning back. Why am I returning back? So his face turns back to me. Priestly benediction. Often people will say this is what it's called, and you'll have many of your subtitles in your Bibles, but Numbers 6:24. May the Lord bless thee, keep thee, and the Lord make his face shine down upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I love in the Amplified. The Lord's going to bless you and watch you and guard you and keep you. Why? If you turn from your wicked ways, the Lord is going to make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be kind and merciful and give favor to you. Many people struggle and says, man, but I don't want to be lonely, or I am lonely. They think the second they start following Christ and do everything that he says, you know, I'm living well for Christ, that everything's just going to fall in order, right? It's like, wait, why isn't my life perfect? I got back right with Jesus last night. Shouldn't everything be perfect? Wait, what did it say in Exodus 10? He says, no, I'm going to let you go through a couple of things so you remember it, so you can tell your children, so you can tell everybody else how you started following me again, and it wasn't easy, but I guided you through the whole thing because I don't want you to forget that getting away from me is very hard. When you start acting like the world and assimilating the world, it's very difficult. Now, his burden is easy. His yoke is easy. His burden's light. And I'm telling you right now, he promises you when his face, though, is shining down upon you, it's merciful, it gives you favor, and the Lord lifts up his approving countenance upon you, his stature, and he gives you peace, tranquility of heart and life continually. This is God's face looking at us. It's indicative of his favor being bestowed or granted or gifting upon us as a blessing. God's saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to give you everything that you need, not what you want. I'm going to give you what you need. Voting. A lot of people have said, Pastor Grant, I don't like voting because I have to choose the lesser of two evils. You guys ever said that? Right? I don't know what I'm going to vote for. It's like choosing the lesser of two evils. Well, you got to stop looking at it as one side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and the other side of the tree. Well, here's the problem. If we want better choices, we need to make better choices. If you and I want better choices, see, we're looking as, well, it's here and here, and that's all I get. As opposed to, wait. What if I change and I turn from my wicked ways? And I start putting my face and I start praying and that hedge of protection comes on. My choices now become better. Why do I know that? Because in Numbers says he's going to shine his face down upon me. And he's going to bless my path. And he says he's going to shine his face down upon everybody else. So God is turning. He's turning all his power and all his strength back to us. In Mark 12:13, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. When you start loving God with everything that you have, all your might, all your strength, something starts to happen. Something, see, he starts working all things for our good. If we do this, which is our part, when we love him with everything we have, we meet the condition of the promise. What's the promise? If my people would humble themselves, right, turn from their wicked ways. As soon as I meet that condition, he meets his. We have to do our part, he does his. Well, what are some of the wicked ways? Wicked meaning contrary to God's instructions. The United States, I'll hurry, 5 minutes. The United States is trying to force Israel to divide the land. This is one area where in the next couple weeks we got to get into this, what's going on. The United States is trying to force Israel to divide the land. So if my people would turn from their right wicked ways, what's wicked? Contrary to God's, right? So we vote for people who go into office who want to divvy up Israel. You guys see that? I vote for someone who says, when I get in office, I will bring peace. I'm going to bring peace to the Middle East, and it's going to be great. Sounds great, right? That's Pharaoh speaking a soothed thing, but at the heart of it, it's wicked. So I vote for that person. I pull the lever, whatever you want to do. I pull for that person because what they said sounded good because they were going to bring peace. It's always wrapped up in a nice little package, but at the heart of it, it's wicked. What's wicked? Because the land isn't supposed to be divided. So I, God's people, voted for someone who tells you, I'm gonna go divide their land. Well, that's not very right. Well, no, it's to bring peace. Oh, okay, well, it's not that bad then. It doesn't matter until the man of peace comes, which is Jesus, which he says, when I come back at first, I'm the man of war. Then after I destroy everything, then peace comes. This is what it says. Joel 3, this is God speaking. In those days, in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all the nations. I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Whew. God's going to be whipping people who started to part his land. He's going to start coming up against everybody. He goes, I'm going to bring all those nations in, and I'm going to take them out. If you start voting for people or saying, you know what, that sounds good to me, you're assimilating into Egypt mindset, Babylonian mindset, mindset contrary to God's word. He says, for those who scattered my nations, how is he going to? He's going to execute judgment. Let's look at verse 2 of the Amplified. I'm going to deal with those nations and execute judgment upon them. Why? Because they divided my land. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Wow. If my people, who are called by my name, would seek my face, God, how would you have me vote? Turn from their wicked ways. Well, what I'd want you to do is stop voting for people who want to divide my land. Why? Because I'm going to bring judgment upon you. Why? Because you're wicked. Oh, so good, it's right here. Doesn't this help you vote? I mean, this is right here. It's just in black. It's like if other Christians are around you, oh my goodness. We can't go against God's commandment repeatedly against his warnings, chastisement, and not expect judgment if we don't change as a nation. Now think about this, the San Andreas Fault Line, Yellowstone Park, which is rumbling, and all those things that we mentioned earlier tonight regarding natural disasters. We are one natural disaster away from the entire system clapping, and we can't pull ourselves out of it. There's people talking about, scientists saying, man, there's another fault line that splits right up through Alabama all the way up into Indiana. We, the United States, is a house divided against itself. They're a nation. We are a nation divided against ourselves. We don't know what we believe. We don't know who to trust. We have school systems fighting governments, churches fighting churches, churches splitting over what this says It's crazy. Mark 3:25, Jesus said that if a house is divided, split into factions and rebelling against itself, the house will not be able to last. This is what's happening. The church argues with what is right or wrong. How do I know that? Oh, okay, 3 minutes. 90 million people, once again, get this stat down, 2012, voting 90 million evangelicals are registered across this country as evangelical, 90 million. 45 million did not register to vote. 27.5 million people voted evangelicals. Out of that, 27.5 million, more than half voted for President Obama. How can the church be divided on who a leader is after we just spent the last 5 weeks saying judgment comes upon a nation when a leader is not righteous? Well, Pastor, what are you saying? Partial birth abortions with tax oppression. Okay, gay marriage. Oh, did I mention a house divided against itself? Okay. Very interesting. We don't have time for this, but I just pulled something. There's a couple things that we're going to go through next week, but I'm just going to give you a little sprinkling of this. Here's interesting enough. Here's 20 quotes for our president, just in case you wonder why we're divided. Because at first he said he was a Christian when he took office in 2009. Do you guys remember that? Oh, he's a Christian guy. He goes to church. Okay, but here's quotes. He said, "The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet Islam. The sweetest sound I know is the Muslim call to prayer. We will convey our deepest appreciation for the Islamic faith, which has done so much in our centuries and to help shape the United States. As a student of history, I also know civilization's debt to Islam. Islam will always be part of America. America and Islam are not exclusive and need to be in competition. Instead, those two religions need to overlap. They need to share the same common principles in justice and progress, tolerance and dignity of all human beings. A house divided against itself will not stand." I got 20 quotes that he has said. It's right off the press that here, throughout history, Islam has demonstrated that they are more powerful than Christianity. The Holy Quran tells us, "Oh, mankind, which is greater than the Bible?" He goes on into mock Christianity. A house divided against itself will not stand. How can people who are for this vote someone who's contrary to this? Well, Pastor, that sounds very harsh. Because I'm tired of judgment coming. And more judgment is coming if we don't turn from our wicked ways. I have no problem telling the church, you better start acting like the church. Because God's going to bring judgment. That's my job to do. And whether it's in season, out of season, whether it's welcome or unwelcoming. Because I will tell you, says what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge. Once again, this is not about being political. It's about being biblical. But I'm not expecting governors. I'm not expecting senators. I'm not expecting politicians to listen to this or even pay attention to this. But I am expecting God's people to respond to this. I am expecting God's people to shut up about all this cultural stuff that's going on and stop being sissies about it and saying, let's just be sympathetic to sin. No, it's this. It's this. It's only this. If we just did this, the world would change. Why? He said, I'll heal your land if it was about this. If it was about this, I'll heal your land. Well, no, Pastor, I got a new way. If we just don't say anything and we'll just be quiet and we don't tell them the truth, they'll come to Christ. How will they know unless they hear? And how will they hear if they don't have a preacher? And if the preacher's like a dumb dog who doesn't bark in Isaiah 55, he says he just wants to dream all day. We're coming getting softball preaching in sermons when people are dying going to hell. Man, that was great. I'm just telling you, this is crazy. Is this not crazy? I'm sitting in my office today, and I'm reading this stuff. Can you guys give me 2 minutes, because I'm just going to go off. Here, you ready? Whew. I'm sitting in my office today, and I'm watching.